You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Thursday, 26 August. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, chatting with Preston Aramsamy, DRD, Massmart results, trading acquisitions. We're talking with Adcock Ingram, and then we're talking with Kylie Purcell from Finder. They've got research showing 37% of South Africans directly own shares. I'm quite keen to dig into that. The show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Some morning headlines from MoneyWeb. SAA set to resume flights from late September, but no details on that majority stake. Remember, Gideon Novak had a team together, we're going to buy a stake. That's suddenly gone very quiet. Business Day, rebased GDP. No panacea as real growth remains in the doldrums. So our economy is 11% bigger as we rebase GDP. This is not trying to cook the books. You do this about every 5 years as an economy, and our growth is still nowhere, even though our economy turns out is a little larger. Morning markets, US was green overnight, S&P up 0.2 and NASDAQ up 0.1%. Asia is red, Sydney's off 0.4, Tokyo down 0.1%. Commodities red overnight, gold 17.90, the rand 14.97, and the top 40 looking to open about 240 points down. That's about 0.4%. That is Tencent trades 1% down during lunch in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Preston Aramsamy, Portfolio Manager, Nedbank Private Wealth. Preston, appreciate the early morning. Those DRD results I mentioned in the intro there. I mean, actually, not a bad set of numbers. A 14th annual dividend in a row. But you look at the price action on DRD, and the market seems to, frankly, not care or have given up on gold stocks.
Morning, Simon, to both you and your listeners. Yeah, Simon, it was a really solid set of numbers, benefiting from, good volumes, benefiting from the high gold price. But it just seems, Simon, that, despite, them generating a lot of cash and great operational performance, zero debt on the balance sheet, mm-hmm. I think the market expected much more from a dividend perspective. Overall, for the year, you're looking at a 5-6% dividend yield, which I think the market expected much more. And, just looking at that, Simon, I think also going forward, the company's had a proper run. It's coming off such a low base in the last couple of years, and it's run quite hard. And although the numbers seem strong, Simon, my sense would be, and maybe the market sense is that production will probably be, lower going forward, just on the back of lower yields. And, this essentially, Simon, it is a company that's quite sensitive, from a, being highly levered to the rand gold price. The stock's just run a little bit too hard, I think, Simon. And coming from that 3 rand a share a few years back. So maybe the market looking at this and thinking that, it's probably fully priced and, taking some money off the table here.
I take your point. I zoomed out on the chart, which I hadn't done. And then suddenly I see, it's up 4x over the last two or so years. So perhaps that's not a shabby return. It's off the highs, but so is gold off the highs. Massmart doing a lot. They announced last week they're selling some of their low margin and for them loss-making businesses to ShopRite. They announced yesterday they're buying a UK online retailer. We're starting to get a picture of their strategy. Get away from that sort of low market, which is the ShopRite space. Get some online working. Is this starting to shape up into something of interest?
Definitely, Simon. Usually when companies clean up, they primarily just focusing on, reducing or selling out of those underperforming non-core businesses. So it's quite encouraging to see that, they're putting quite a lot of effort and gaining a lot of momentum on just future fitting the business as well. So, this acquisition, controlling stake in OneCart, seems to be a, solid acquisition. And it just seems, Simon, that, management are really accelerating this turnaround strategy. And, you know, this business could easily compete with the likes of a Checkers 60-60. And I just think, Simon, we should not underestimate management's support here, especially from Walmart, in aiding in making this business a future fit as well. So you can see, you know, the share price, market really liking this over the last couple of months, this year, in fact, you know, having a good run this year, up, what, 34, 35% already.
That's a great point you make. I've gone digging around the Walmart results. And one thing Walmart has done incredibly well is their online. They're taking it to Amazon in the US. So that does make some sense. They've got some skills they can bring here. A quick last one. There was a ton of data coming out yesterday. Metrofile with a trading update looking for about 30, 32 cents for the full year of headline earnings. A boring company in a sense that they store documents, but a nice little profitable business.
Definitely, Simon. You know, I think it's a nice company that kind of bridges the gap between physical storage and you know, new digital platforms. So I think there is relevance for it. And well, what's interesting for me, Simon, is that, you know, this business, you know, it's, you know, over the last year, 2 years, even longer, you know, we've seen private equity, you know, firms, particularly out of the US, showing some interest. So, you know, it reminds me of Adapt IT a little bit. So, you know, maybe, you know, this is one that's maybe undervalued, probably one for, you know, a retail investor. It's a little bit illiquid. But Simon, we'll wait to see in 2 weeks' time. We'll get, you know, the actual numbers that come out. And it'll give us more color on, you know, how they've actually performed in the last year or so.
Yeah, and we want to see those dividends, because typically it's a fairly good dividend payer. Price earnings is around 10, but we could get a dividend yield of maybe 8 or 9%. Preston Aramsomi, Portfolio Manager, Nedbank Private Wealth, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Andy Hall, CEO of Adcock Ingram. Of the many data flows yesterday, one of them was results for Adcock Ingram. Year ending 30 June. Revenue up 6%, HEPS down 3.1%, and 90 cent dividend. Andy, appreciate the early morning time. One of the weird things of a pandemic, and there's lots of weird things, is that some of the sort of healthcare stocks are struggling. And in your case, it's that absence of a flu season, an absence of elective surgery. If I just look at your OTC, my sense is if you'd had the flu season as per normal, you would have picked up about an extra 5% revenue, maybe another 100 million in profits. It would have turned you into a slightly better year. Is that really the drag on the business, that fact that people are not going out, not getting sick, not having surgeries?
Yeah, Simon, good morning. It's a fair assessment, you know. So we've experienced some swings and roundabouts. And unfortunately, the negative impacts of the pandemic, as you point out, on people contracting cold and flu and going to get over-the-counter medicines, outweighed the positive impact on some of the other parts of the business, such as renal dialysis and immune boosters and the like. So you're right. But I think we were blessed by the fact that we've got a really broad portfolio of products, you know, so at least we had elements that could make up to some extent for what was happening in that part of the business.
Yeah, it is fairly broad. I mean, yeah, the recent acquisition, which really boosted consumer segment, of course, because it's new, as the Plush Professional Leather Care. I looked at that and I scratched my head a bit, but then I read through and you are looking for, my senses, bolt-on acquisitions, and you're looking to sort of pick up some acquisitions that don't have the regulated pricing that we see from single exit pricing.
Exactly, Simon. So one of the risks we face in the industry, including at Adcock Ingram, is, you know, we have this annual single exit price increase, which is granted by the Department of Health. Mm-hmm. And generally that increase tends to lag inflation and definitely tends to lag the deterioration in the exchange rate over time. So we do need to make sure that we've got a properly balanced portfolio of defensive regulated products, but also products that are non-regulated where we can have some pricing power. And if you look at our consumer businesses last 12 months, you know, they managed to push in price of close to double digits with big brands like Panado and BioPlus and Comprel. Mm-hmm. So there's no doubt that that does give us a bit of a hedge.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned inflation, we get that, but of course it's also always the currency. And I'm imagining it's not just that you're at times importing the finished product, but even in the manufacturing space, it's ingredients. So currency really is an influence on the numbers as you produce.
No, exactly, Simon. You know, a strong currency would be a huge tailwind for us, but unfortunately we know that that's not really the trend with the rand. And if you look at it statistically wise, more than half of our active ingredients or finished goods are actually paid for in foreign currency. So it is a big swing factor on our business, depending on what happens in the rand period to period.
Okay, as much as half. It was about to be my next question. Supply chains, that must have been some challenge. I mean, we've seen it the world over. Maybe a little bit easier for an Adcock Ingram in that you're not bringing in giant products and the like. But how has supply chains held up over the past year?
I think we've learned to manage it, Simon. To be honest, in the early part of the pandemic, it was a bit of a nightmare, you know, getting products in from India and the like, where products were embargoed and not allowed to leave that country. But I think we've learned to manage it well. We've make sure that we keep strategic stocks of products that might become problematic. And in general, we're very happy with our inventory holdings at the moment. The only area where we are suffering a bit, and it's unrelated really to the pandemic, are the difficulties that are being experienced in the port in Durban at the moment. You know, Transnet's had some of its own problems. So we're battling to get all our products through that port. And we are short of a couple of products in the prescription division at the moment. But we're hoping that'll resolve by the end of September or mid-September, probably.
Mid-September. I want to go back to the elective surgeries. Obviously, people are avoiding elective surgery if they can. If I need a knee done, a knee op, maybe I can do it later. Do you see a sort of uptick in elective surgeries as we move into lower lockdowns, as we move out of the first wave, the second wave? Or are people really sort of saying, no, let's get this pandemic out the way first?
Yeah, look, it's not when these sporadic suspensions of surgeries end in the particular provinces, it's not going back to the levels that it was operating at pre-pandemic, mm-hmm. but it's certainly going at sustainable levels. So even now in Gauteng, where we see, effectively us having got through this wave, we see those elective surgeries start to tick up again. And the area of the business where it impacts us the most is in the ophthalmic business, where mm-hmm. we are effectively the biggest supplier of surgical and ophthalmic instrumentation to ophthalmologists. So that's starting to pick up again in Gauteng. But in the other provinces where the wave is still hitting us hard, it's still pretty much at a standstill.
Yep, we'll leave that there. Andy Hall, CEO, Adcock Ingram, appreciate the early morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
Business, finance, and investment news. MoneyWeb Now
with Simon Brown
on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting with Kylie Persona, investment expert from a company called Finder on the line from Australia. Kylie, appreciate your time. You did a survey of investors. It was a global survey of investors. It included South Africans. I suppose my first question before we delve into what your survey found was the how and when was the survey done?
Yeah. Nice to be here. The South African data was from a convenience sample of 1,503 South African adults, and that was surveyed via Google Surveys between February and March 2021. And that was one of 16 countries and regions. So we surveyed around 23,600 people in total.
And what it found, and I got to say, I mean, I've worked in this industry. I've worked for stockbrokers over the last 20 years. 37% of South Africans own shares. And I'm assuming that's directly. So that's excluding our pension and the like. And that's not a bad number. I mean, it puts us seventh out of those 16 countries that you had surveyed.
Yeah, that's a really great number. Seventh out of 16 countries, and you just beat Australia. Australia came eighth, so a really good result. We didn't actually ask people to specify whether it was a pension fund.
Okay.
So that's something we could certainly look at next time. But, yeah, a great result in any case. They came ahead of Australia, Ireland, and the UK as well, and just behind other countries like Canada, New Zealand, and Sweden.
Yeah, and certainly
it's still a great result. Definitely.
It is, and as I worked in the when I was a stockbroker a decade ago, we always looked to Australia and we're trying to emulate, and we've managed to sort of sneak ahead. what it also shows is that a lot of folks who are not yet owning but actually are planning on buying shares, which I suppose indicates a sense of an awareness of the market and an eagerness to get involved, which again is good for a market and good for investors.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we found that 17% of South Africans that didn't currently own shares plan to by 2021, which is really great. That's also just ahead of Australia, funnily enough, which is 16% where I am now. But it's a bit about in line with the average. So about 18% of people globally say they expect to buy shares before the year out.
And the one thing, and the gender split skews male, the age skews slightly older, 45 to 54, although the age is actually fairly spread across. I mean, I suppose these are not unsurprising trends, considering the world that we live in, that it is more male and it is going to be a slightly older trend.
Yeah, we did find that gender gap across every market that we looked at. It's a pretty typical gender gap when it comes to investing. In South Africa, the gap was quite significant. It was 40% of men owning shares compared to 30% of women, so a 10 percentage point gap. That's actually in line with the US and just a little bit higher than Australia, which was 8 percentage points. But quite average, really. Mm-hmm. You know, the biggest percentage gap was in Canada at 16%. 16 percentage points, sorry. And then the smallest was, funnily enough, Mexico, which I thought was really interesting at 3 percentage points. But yeah, it's still quite a big gap that we're seeing across every market. It is getting smaller, is great to see. Still very present,
And good on Mexico. Last question. I mean, we are. You know, yeah. What struck me with it as well is, you know, often you think that this investment is the domain of the billionaires and the like, but actually, this shows that a lot of these folks. I mean, a fair chunk of them, they're investing less than 8,500 rand. I mean, it's this isn't the millionaire club. This is small savers, small investors.
Yeah, look, I think that's it's part of a reason why so many young people are starting to invest now, and we are seeing such a big jump in the number of people investing, and particularly thanks to these investing apps like share trading platforms.
Yeah, yeah.
I know in South Africa you have Interactive Brokers, et cetera, that allow you to invest just a few dollars at a time in some cases. So, yeah, the fact that you can invest, you know, $10, even $100 at a time. So I'm talking US at the moment, not rand. It means that anyone can start investing, and you can start investing a lot sooner. You don't need to save up a big chunk of money.
Yeah,
so I think that's definitely having an impact.
Yeah, we've got that locally, a company called Easy Equities. You can literally go with 100 rand and start to buy segments of shares. We'll leave it there. Kylie Purcell, investment expert at founder.com. And 37% of South Africans directly own shares. 17% are looking to get into the market. Those are great numbers. That's it for today. Our poll we're asking on our LinkedIn and Twitter. I was chatting with Preston there around the DRD results, 14th dividend in a year, but the share weaker. Although, as I said, when I zoomed out, it didn't look so bad. But a question on is there hope for gold stocks? Let us know. Have your vote on our LinkedIn and Twitter at MoneyWeb. We also yesterday were asking you around the unemployment. And I'd been chatting with Martin Ackerman from Citadel. And the question is there hope? I mean, what can we do to get this number down over the next couple of years? Almost two-thirds of you said, nope, it is structural. A third said, we can do it, but it is not going to be easy. And I think, I mean, both are right. It is structural. And if we are to get it lower, it is not going to be easy. You can always have your vote, have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning, the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Kudora, Nicole and Masekhla, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the money.